neighbors.
Welcome home, neighbors.
Hello, neighbors.
We're listening from
Arizona,
Florida,
Maryland,
New York,
New Jersey,
Indianapolis,
California,
Utah,
Michigan,
Iowa, Massachusetts,
Georgia,
Canada.
Our home resort is
Animal Kingdom,
Polynesian,
Great Lake Tahoe,
Old Key West,
Riviera,
Boardwalk,
Alani Resort,
Hilton Head,
Boulder Ridge,
Copper Creek,
Grand Floridian,
Saratoga Springs,
Beach Club,
and Wilderness Lodge.
And you're listening to
Hello and welcome to DVC Newscast. This is episode 150. I cannot believe that we are at episode 150. This one's going to be a doozy because we got some news today. We are not short of news stories. We had to bring out extra resources today. So not only do we have Pete,
hey,
but we also got Sue.
Hi there.
We got the full crew, because I think we have a couple other people that come in, but this is the regulars as far as the rotation is concerned. So we all kind of came out today because there's a lot.
Drops. Celebrate the sesquicentennial.
Sesquicentennial. I love it.
I don't even think I could say that.
That's 150 years. I just looked that
okay.
up.
Well, Disney definitely saved a lot of news for their new fiscal year. If you don't know, their fiscal year starts on October 1st. I work for a CPA firm. Anyway, before we get started, we do want to give a shout out to today's sponsor, and that is DVC Resale Market. So if you are looking to purchase a DVC resale contract, or maybe you are looking to sell your DVC contract, definitely hit up our friends at DVC Resale Market. They also have a really great section on DVC Resale 101. So if you're just kind of just browsing, or you're just kind of getting into it and you want to learn more, I really highly recommend their DVC Resale 101. It kind of explains a lot about DVC. It also might help if you're not familiar. It helps you with the lingo and sometimes like that we talk about, because some of the times we say things and I think a lot of times people don't, you know, we forget that a lot of people don't necessarily know the DVC lingo, but definitely hit them up. They can help you out with all your resale needs.
If you get really, really lucky, you might get Sue as your...
I'd love to help you out.
...as your contact.
Yes, absolutely. So we're not going to waste any time. We're going to jump right into the first story. And the first story is DVC related. So we have a new membership offering. It is called Membership Magic Beyond. And DVC announced a new program for DVC members called Membership Magic Beyond. The add-on will cost $99 for the first year and will apply from January 12th through December 31st of 2025. Only one purchase is necessary to apply across all of your memberships and to your household. The benefits of this extra program are as follows. Access to lower price park tickets. This is going to be for Disney World, a 5-day weekday ticket with one water park visit, or for 3-day Disneyland weekday pass, including Lightning Lane multipass for discounted rates for members and up to 7 others in the household. Actual rates weren't provided. And I will say, as a Florida resident, I don't expect these to be cheaper than Florida resident deals that they offer from time to time. I would be shocked if they are, to be honest. Reserve a 30-day memory maker entitlement once a year. This I thought was awesome. So we'll talk about all this more. Priority access to the Disney Club member lounges that will put you to the top of the wait list, including the Epcot, Disneyland, and upcoming Frontierland Lounge. This is going to be a major discussion. An exclusive meet and mingle with special characters at the Epcot Lounge. You can use your points to buy a Sorcerer's Pass, probably not a good value. No word on how many points for this, but Pete's estimated 100 to 120 points per pass. Buy one, get one free pricing on one-time use points. Can purchase up to 12 points and get 24 in a use year. So 24 is the max. So basically, you're just getting a 50% discount, let's be honest. And then you can waive the $95 transaction fee to use points for Adventures by Disney, Disney Collection, ABD, and DCL. Don't do that, because honestly, it's not going to use good use of your points.
But some people do it.
Yep, they do.
Some people do it, but you're going to spend $99 to waive that $95 transaction fee. While nothing earth-shattering here, the $99 fee isn't very large either, and many of these items would pay for themselves, especially like me, that I do purchase one-time use points. Okay, let's just get into it. You know, we chatted a little bit yesterday when this was announced. We're recording this on Thursday. So here's my first thought. My first thought is, They're getting the $99 fee to be very low. It's not expensive. It's a one-time fee for the year. You can definitely make it worth your while. For me, like one-time use points, definitely worth my while. I don't expect that $99 price to stay. I expect next year it'll be $199. I think the $99 was, let's offer it. Let's get a lot of people to buy into it. And then we'll raise the price. What do you guys think?
I agree. I think that it's a test market. Let's test it out and see how many we can get at that price. If we don't get enough, but we get some, then we might leave it there for another year. But I'm sure that there'll be a lot of people taking advantage of it. And to your point, Shannon, yeah, I see a price increase next year.
Yeah, I don't think that would be surprising at all. Of late, Disney hasn't done that as much, but that does tend to be their strategy, is start with a reasonable price and then jack that price up quickly and quite expensively. The big thing I look at this here is, for the most part, these are not things that we already had. And actually, I should say all of them are not things we already had. So it's not like they took away things.
Right.
And are now offering them to you for $99. I'm looking at you, Lightning Lane.
Right.
But the only exception to that is the priority access to the lounges. I don't think it's really that going to be that. It's certainly not going to be a problem at Disneyland. From what I've heard, no one ever waits at Disneyland. So I don't think you need priority access. The Epcot lounge, you often wait a little while. So maybe that'll make the waits a little longer if you don't have it. I think it's more because of the Magic Kingdom lounge.
Yeah,
it probably won't be that big a lounge, and I don't think it's hard to guess that that will be the most popular of the lounges,
especially if there's a firework or a parade
view or anything like that. Yeah, for sure. You know, I could see they're kind of taking away something there in that allowing us to get just on a regular wait list, but for the most part, it's all new things, and it's going to be a your mileage may vary things, but I can see where there's value to it. I can see where I think quite a few members will do it. And, you know, they're basically giving you discounts that incentivize you to come. I'm almost surprised they don't do more, but we'll see what happens after the first year. They could raise the price. I'm sure they will raise the price. They could give an even more extended benefit package at a higher price, right?
Or have tiers.
But I think overall it's good, right? I mean, don't you think so?
I think so. In the sense of, I like the idea. I too will buy points during the year. I run out and I do buy points. So just looking at getting 12 points at a $240 value, the $99 is going to be worth it to me on that.
Right.
And I like the fact that there are a few things in here, like the meet and greet and having that 30-day memory maker, especially if you've got a vacation planned and you're bringing extra people who haven't been there before. I love that. And I think that's a good benefit. And to your point, Pete, they didn't take anything away from the members as far as perks went. They added some more for a small price right now. So for the first time, yeah, I'll join.
So a couple of things. As far as the priority access for the DVC members lounges, you have to be staying on site on points to use that priority access. So if you are local, or even if like you're not, like let's say you're like it's us and we're staying at Pop Century, we couldn't use that priority access. That is something to, I'm not upset about that. I think that's fair. I think it's fair because I think there are a lot of DVC locals. Yep. No offense, Sue.
Nope.
But you do see, I think that's one of the reasons why I remember when I first started going to Moonlight Magic or Search, it was a lot easier to get into. And I think a lot of the locals kind of manipulated getting into the system. And now it's harder because you do have to be staying on site. You do have to be staying on points before you could book a room. And you book a cash room. But what I know is a lot of people booked a cash room and then canceled it. They would get their tickets and then canceled it and it didn't matter. That's why we can't have nice things. I kind of expect that I would not be surprised. I'm not saying I predict this, but I kind of do, is that members that are belong to the membership beyond may get priority access to book a membership magic if they're staying on site. I don't know. Kind of expect that, maybe not this year, but that will be something that's added.
Chad mentioned that, and I thought I'm shocked they didn't put that in there, because it literally would cost them zero to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. And I think, like, if you're paying $99, and again, you would still have to be staying on site, you'd still have to be staying on points, like, to get that access.
Right.
But you gotta get, maybe you get an hour ahead, like maybe it opens up at 10 and instead of, you know, or it opens up a day early, something right. like that. Yeah. And they have maybe only a special, you know, so something, I could see that. And I think a lot of people would join just for that, especially if they were planning on trying to get to a Moonlight Magic. But the Memory Maker is great, because I get the Memory Maker. I do the yearly, but we're letting our passes expire. So, and we're probably now getting to the point, and especially with the new announcement of something else, which we'll talk about, we are letting our passes expire. With the new multi-pass, we do not like it, and it doesn't work with how we do the parks anymore. So we're just going to go less often. And now we're members, and now we're pass holders at Universal. Maybe we're only going to go once a year, and that 30 days would be awesome. I'm definitely buying in. We have no trips planned for 2025. And I'm going to buy in, which makes absolutely no sense.
I don't think they're going to say you have to buy in by such and such a date, though. So you could wait till you have a trip scheduled and then pay for
it. Yeah, I'm just going to just do it and be done. Okay. Yeah, because that way I don't want to have to try and I don't know how, maybe not the first day, but I'll definitely buy before January 12th. And then,
I think they'll sell a lot of these.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the next year, I think if it had come out at $199, I think you'd have people complaining, because right. there are already people complaining. I think you'd have people complaining, and it would be a lot more. $99 is easy to buy in.
Right.
There's something psychological with only something
under $100. Yep.
I don't know how you complain about that as a price. I mean, that's less than a one-day ticket for one person, and it applies to your entire family. And yes, maybe you're not going to use all of the perks. And if you're not going to use any of the perks, then don't buy it. I totally agree with you. I could see it next year doubling easily. And if it doesn't, if it only goes to $149, we'll be like, oh, that's not so bad.
Yeah.
Well, the other nice thing about it is, because you have access to a lower price park ticket for a 5-day weekday ticket, that can help individuals, because right now you don't have that type of access. And again, it's for you and your family.
We're going to have to see what kind of a discount that really is. Because a 5-day ticket is expensive, for sure. You're looking at, even without the hopper, you're looking at just around $500, I think, nowadays. It's like $485 or something like that. If it's a reasonable discount, $40, something like that, $30, $40. I'm just worried it's going to be like, oh, yeah, $10.
You know? I think it's going to be like the Florida passes, like the Florida discount, the 3- and 4-day tickets.
Yeah.
That are like, if you buy 4 days, it comes out to like $59 a day, but you got to buy 4 days. Right. You know, it's like that, which that's one of the reasons why we're not, you know, getting annual passes, because those ticket deals, sometimes you're like, okay, it's probably, if we're only going once a year, you know, that's probably what we're doing. But yeah, I think time will tell. I think we'll see what it's going to be like the first year. I think a lot of people will buy in, and then I think it'll evolve over time. So time will tell. Okay. And talking about pricing.
Yeah. So just as a reminder, ticket prices always go up. The next story is about Disneyland ticket prices. I was just out there, and this announcement, fortunately, I had already bought my tickets, but Disneyland ticket prices rose again on October 9th of this year. Typical price increases were 6-7%. The single day tickets, there's still 6 tiers, and the top single day ticket, which I would assume is like Christmas, Easter, is now $206, and that's without hopping. And then also the individual day tickets went up as well. So if you're looking for a 4-day pass without hopping, is now $445 for 4 days at Disneyland. So you're, even a 4-day pass is over $100 a day.
Wow.
Now we know why that lady stuck her kids in.
Yeah. Pre-book Lightning Lane also went up from $30 to $32. And I was just out there again, like I just said, and while the pre-book was $30, the in-park purchase was higher. So wow. I think it was $36 on Saturday, and I think it was a little less on Monday if you had bought it. So it's going up to $32 for the Lightning Lane multi-pass if you're adding it to every day of your ticket. Also, the annual passes went up pretty badly, especially the lower tiers went up 15 to 20%. The higher tiers only went up 6 or 7%. But also, they're still not available for purchase right now. So, but the prices went up. Your Disneyland trips, as usual, got a little more expensive. And wouldn't be surprised if we see Disney World tickets follow pretty soon, because I think last year's prices went up in October as well. So we'll see what happens, right?
Wow. Yeah. So,
I don't know if there's much to comment about this story.
There's nothing to comment.
It's straightforward. Yep.
Yeah. The cheapest passes going up like 20% is a pretty big hit, though. I think there were $6.99 now for the lowest resident pass.
Thank God I live in Florida.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Disneyland's used by mostly locals, so
yeah,
yep,
that's where they have to get the money. But we can talk about some permanent and extended closures that are happening at Walt Disney World for those of you who are coming and planning your vacation. This week, we learned about the first closures related to the replacement of Dinoland. On January 12th, 2025, Triceratops Spin, Fossil Fun Games, and Chester and Hester's Dinosaur Treasures will be closing. So if you want that stuffed dinosaur or a stuffed animal from one of the games, you need to get it pretty soon. The rest of Dinoland will not go extinct just yet, but soon. In addition, an extended closure of Big Thunder Mountain was announced that it's going to be closing on January 6th, 2025 and reopen sometime in 2026 with, quote, a little bit of new magic. There had been a long rumor that the major track replacement was on the way, and we can only hope that the refurb will finally bring the explosive effects to the mine train that they have in Disneyland. Now, did you get a chance to see those when you were out there?
Yes, I rode Big Thunder 3 times. It's a fun addition. I mean, it doesn't really change the ride at all, but it is kind of neat in that last lift tunnel. They have all these explosions going off and everything, and I can't. That is certainly not the reason it's closing for a year, though. It's got to be something bigger than that.
Well, I think part of it's probably with being able to put the Cars area in. Mm-hmm. They have to fill in the lake. They have to take out Tom Sawyer's Island. And so that's going to encroach upon some of the track area of Big Thunder Mountain. Yeah,
that's very true.
Finally, a delay in the opening of the new version of the Little Mermaid stage show that was over at Hollywood Studios. They announced that although it was planned to open in the fall of 2024, they're now saying that it will not open until summer of 2025.
That's kind of surprising because it's just a stage show. Like, it was supposed to open like very soon, right?
Well,
and now I heard there was mold in the building.
Yeah, that's what I had heard too.
Yeah, I'd heard that years ago, but I would have thought that would have been part of the plan that was put in place to have it open in the fall, unless they like found even more mold somewhere. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, the problem down here in Florida is when you don't air condition something and you had a lot of moisture in there from each one of their shows being under the sea, that down here you get black mold very fast. I mean, some of the hurricane homes develop black mold in a matter of days. So maybe that's what they found, was that the mold, the extensiveness of the mold was more than they had assumed.
Yeah.
We don't know. Or maybe they're putting in some more special effects.
Could be. Yeah. So those are the Big Thunder one, though. Again, there were a lot of rumors it was going to close this fall, and then they did a couple month Jungle Cruise closure. So I think that might be why it got delayed on that one. You know, they try not to close too many things in the same part of the park.
Yeah.
Very small window that you have both Big Thunder Mountain and Tiana's Bayou Adventure open at the same time.
Yeah. And honestly, I kind of wish, I mean, I understand why they did it because of capacity issues, but I kind of wished they had done it at the same time because, like, there's only two rides there, right? There's two rides there. When Tiana's was closed to go all the way, and my son loves Big Thunder, so it was like, oh, we have to go all the way around. That's why I'm not upset about this whole expansion with Cars Land.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I was actually thrilled because I hate making that walk all the way around for literally just two rides. It's always just, and especially when it was just one ride, So I'm actually looking forward to that nice walkway and that cut across. So I kind of wish, but I understand why they didn't, because of capacity. But that was, I was like, they should have just done it at the same time.
Oh, get your steps in.
Exactly. So,
and then we get another thing that lots of people were talking about this week.
Oh, yeah. So this is the big one. And this came out right before they announced the DVC Beyond, where I think everybody was kind of up in arms over this. So the additional information of $99 was like, yeah, whatever. Like, that's nothing compared to this one. And that is that they are, this was rumored, but there's going to be the new Premier Lightning Lane multipass for deluxe guests. And that Disney is trying a new program where guests and members staying at deluxe resorts can add a Premier Lightning Lane to their park ticket. This park gives access to one of each Lightning Lane ride in each park on the day of purchase. This includes both multi-pass and single pass for all rides in the park, but only applies to one park per day. Prices vary significantly by park and date. So the prices are going to be Animal Kingdom $129 to $199, Epcot $169 to $249, Hollywood Studios $269 to $349, and Magic Kingdom $329 to $449. Since this price will be between $500 and $1,800 a day for a family of four, it is unlikely to affect overall wait times at attractions the way the current Lightning Lane options do. I'm not 100% sure. It just depends. I think there's a lot of factors that are going to depend on that. I have my own thoughts on this. Okay, so a lot of people, one of the things I see is, well, Disney should just give it out to free like they do for Express Pass at Universal. Well, one, Universal has three deluxe resorts.
Right.
And so there's that. And then two, it honestly sucks at Universal if you're going, and I say this because we went Labor Day weekend, and Labor Day, the actual Labor Day, is not a that busy day. It wasn't a busy day at the park.
No.
We waited an hour for VelociCoaster with the Express Pass.
Wow. Yeah,
people think their Express Pass is like Lightning Lane or Fast Pass, and you walk right on. Because
so many people have it.
Yep.
It is not, right. Even with... And theirs is very expensive too. If you buy it,
yeah, we did. We choose to stay. Now we just stay at the resort, and it was because if you buy it outright, like we looked at we stayed at Dockside, which was like $129 a night. If we stayed at Dockside for two nights and then bought the Express Pass for each of us just for one day, it was still more expensive than just staying at Portofino Bay,
right?
For two nights, so it was like significantly more. So we just stayed at Portofino Bay for two nights,
right?
But yeah, we waited 35 minutes for Minions.
Wow.
I mean, yeah. And like we never got on Gringotts because Gringotts, the line was super long and we waited for 20 minutes. We weren't even close and then it broke down. So we never got to ride it. Now, some things were decent on Labor Day, but I think on Labor Day, we only rode like five things. Like it wasn't like we rode a lot. So yeah,
my experience is the same. It's faster than the regular standby line, but it's maybe half. Again, it's not like Lightning Lane that you see, you know, a 60-minute wait and you're on in 5 minutes at Disneyland.
Right.
Or at Disney World. There's a 60-minute wait. You're probably waiting 35 minutes instead of 60.
Yeah,
minutes.
We waited an hour and the time posted was 90 minutes.
Right.
So we only saved a half an hour, which was fine. I mean, we got to ride it. I'm glad we didn't pay for it. If I had paid for it, I would have asked my money back because it was not worth it. We went there to ride certain things and I'm glad we did it. But that was so going back to that one, Disney's not going to offer it to deluxe resorts, right? Because there's way too many deluxe resorts. And then that would be detrimental. It would just be detrimental. You know, they would raise prices. And it would not be good. So there's that. So get that. Hopefully anybody listening to the show is not saying that, but if you are posting that, stop. I'm gonna get a nasty comment on a review for sure. But going back, I'm concerned about this. Like I am concerned about this. Now let's say Animal Kingdom and Epcot, not worth it. Totally not worth it. I don't think so. Do you guys think it's worth it at Epcot or Animal Kingdom?
I'm sorry. It's not worth it at any of them.
The price.
Yeah, I mean, I could see if like I'm thinking of it as Like if I think of it as if I were going to Disneyland, if I was going to Disneyland for like where we go once every 3 or 5 years, I would budget one day to do it. Like, okay, we're going to do it and we're going to go big or go home, right? Where we're
just going to do it. You're going to spend $1,000 at Magic Kingdom to get Lightning Lane. And that includes things like Mickey's PhilharMagic and Little Mermaid and rides that have no waits anyways. And, you know, so you're paying for those rides for $30 or whatever. You can probably get on most of the rides. So you're paying an extra $300 to $400 a person for 5 or 6 rides, to be honest, versus what a regular Lightning Lane is. It's nice that you don't have to plan, but this is for, in my view, this is for the very wealthy folks, and it won't be everybody. It certainly won't be everybody at the deluxes. Anyone thinking, oh no, the Lightning Lanes are going to get even longer. This is 0.2% of the Disney public here. This isn't the current multi-pass Lightning Lane, which 25% of people are buying or whatever.
Right.
This is a very, very small percentage. I mean, the deluxe resorts only make up, I think, about maybe 15% of the rooms on property, right? Mm-hmm. And even though there's a lot of deluxe resorts, there's only typically 300, 400 rooms in each resorts versus Pop Century, which has 1,500 rooms. So it's a lot less of a percent of the portion. And then a lot of people won't even look at this. I wouldn't look at this. I look at this and it's like almost like doing a VIP. A VIP would be more expensive for a family of four. But if I got 10 people together, VIP would probably be cheaper than this.
And not only that,
it'd probably be cheaper. And then you get to do it for all four parts.
Correct.
Right.
And you can go on the same attraction more than once.
Right. I'd way rather pay someone and go, all right, I want to go on the top three attractions in Magic Kingdom and the top three attractions in Epcot and the top, rather than pay $250 so I don't wait in a 10-minute line for Spaceship Earth and a 5-minute line for Nemo.
Right. And with the VIP tour, you're also carted around and you're brought backstage and you have snacks and they get waters for you and Mickey treats. You've got some other perks that are in there.
And maybe this is a little bit cheaper, as I said. And if you're only four people, this is cheaper. But like, it just...
Find six others.
It seems like so much money compared to what you're getting for it.
Yeah.
There are certainly people that are going to do it. There's people that have, you know, all kinds of money. They don't worry about discounts. They stay in the nicest suite at the Grand Floridian, everything like that. They got the money. They'll do this. But this is not something that is, in my mind, really going to affect how you and I and the regular average DVC person goes, because this is not going to add significant numbers to the Lightning Lane. It's only going to add significant revenue because, you know, if 5,000 people do it a day, that's still $150,000 Disney's getting.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. What do you think, Sue?
Well, during busy seasons, I can see some of the first timers doing it, going to Magic Kingdom during the holiday season. Then they may want to spend it on one day so that they can get onto some of the attractions faster. Because around Christmas season, you're lucky being in the parks all day if you can get on 2 or 3 attractions. Mm-hmm. So that would help. But when I look at this and I started to think, I've done VIP tours with other people and we've gotten together 10 people and split the cost. And when you do it that way, it's really not bad. And for what you get for it is pretty darn good. So I'd rather do that than spending $449 for this pass at Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. And then with the VIP, you also get like, they get your food order for you. They, you know, there's all kinds of things they do for you besides just cutting you in the rides. It's kind of poor man's VIP.
Yeah. Poor man's VIP. And then also with the VIP, it sells out. Like that's what I've heard, because I've heard people like when they were cracking down on those illegal tours that, you know, now they're banned from the parks. A lot of them were like, well, my client only booked me because the VIPs were sold out. I think this is something else. I really hope it doesn't. I've been vocal about it. I hate multipass. I do not like it. you're paying now, it's even more. It's got, the price has gone up since when we did it. Genie Plus was fine. We learned to use it, and there were things that I didn't like about it, but there was things that I did. This system, unless you go first thing in the morning, it's not worth it. And then you were saying that at Disneyland, you can't use it until you get into the park. To me, it's not like it's MultiPass was the final, it wasn't the sole decision, but it was the final thing that said, okay, yeah, we're going to let our passes expire and we're just going to come less often because I don't want to do rote drop anymore. And I paid the money for Genie Plus to not have to rope drop. Right. And now it's like, there's all these strategies and every strategy is about rope dropping with MultiPass. Defeats the point.
Right.
Right.
Like that's...
No, you're right. Because the one thing I did like about Genie Plus was that you could sit in your room and book your things and you could book every 2 hours and get your things, right? Because right. you'd got them one at a time, right?
Correct.
So it didn't matter that you used it. Every 2 hours, you could get one. Well, with this new system, you have to use one to get one. So yeah. you're right. If you don't use it early, you're not getting your money's worth. Now, I would argue what I do like about the new Lightning Lane is I can pre-book 3 rides, and I know I got those 3 rides. And that's my biggest complaint about Genie Plus was...
Yeah, I agree.
And Lightning Lane out in California, because they still use the old system, is I don't know what I'm going to get. So it could be a really good day and I could get some really good rides, or it could be a really lousy day and I end up getting nothing. I was only out for 2 days, so I added it to the ticket for the 2 days. It was just me. There's a lot of single rider lines out there. So I thought, you know, between single rider and this lightning lane, I can get everything I wanted to. And honestly, I did for the most part. I can't complain about it, except that I was saying before the show, I wanted to get, the last day I was there, I wanted to get Guardians, but I wasn't planning on getting out of the hotel super early. We were in a 3-bedroom grand villa. I wanted to enjoy the hotel. And I realized that if I waited till 10:30 to get in the park, I wanted a lightning lane for Guardians. Guardians was going to be gone. That was one of the ones in California Adventures, the first one to go. I had to get up, walk all the way to the park. Woe is me, right? I got a 10-minute walk, but still, you have to walk all the way to the park. I literally walked in, went through security, gave him my ticket, badged in, went on my phone, picked my lightning lane, and I left. And walked back to the hotel. And I'm like doing this, and I'm like, this is so stupid.
It's crazy.
That I have to do this in order to use this system.
Right.
Well, that's where I said, that was one of the things I said, this was designed by somebody who's never visited the park as a guest. It was designed by people who have no idea what, like, it's like, it's all, it's good on paper, right? It's good on paper. It's, I'm in HR. If people don't know, I'm in HR. It's like, you look at a resume and you're like, wow, this person's great for the job. And then you interview them and you're like,
yeah,
you are not a good fit. You right. are not a right. good fit. Like, it was good on paper, but in reality,
right.
it doesn't work. That's what MultiPass is. It's good. Like, honestly, if they had done Genie Plus, what I would have loved is just what you said. Like, you could have booked like 2 things first thing, like two, like book it. And then you could book 2 things and then start the, then you do the 2-hour thing, like 2 hours after the park opens.
Right.
So
or even at noon. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, so if you get your 3 and then you can start booking at noon and then every 2 hours, that would have been perfect. Like that would have been perfect. But, you know, if you don't, we ended up getting like all the mountains, like Tiana's, I still call as a mountain, but even though it's in the bayou, because we went that morning. Yeah. We went that morning and we got that. And then once we rode it, that was the first day. So we didn't know what we were doing, but we did that. We scanned in and then I was able to get Space Mountain and Big Thunder. But it was the first day. Nobody knew what was going on. I never picked up another one. Now we went back to the resort, took a nap, got lunch, and then came back. And it was a extended hours, but there was never one I could pick up. Like, unless it was, I think it was Magic Carpet. And occasionally Barnstormer. Like there was, I mean, you couldn't even pick up like mediocre rides. It was just, you couldn't.
It was the same thing in California, especially California Adventure. By like 3-4 o'clock, the only thing left was the Little Mermaid. I had hoppers, but if you were in California Adventure, you would get your first three or four, and then Little Mermaid. That's your only choice. And I was like, I don't want to ride Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
But thank you.
My hope is that this doesn't affect the line, because I hope not. But because I will say, we did use it in July, and we were able to do a real good comparison between Genie Plus and MultiPass, because we went to Hollywood Studios twice, and one day was Genie Plus, the last day of Genie Plus, and then the third day with MultiPass. And we did so, we were in the park longer with MultiPass and did so much less than the day that we did Genie Plus. Mm-hmm. It was like night and day. It's not going away. Like, they're not changing it. So I hope it doesn't. And I will say, I know the whole DAS is controversial, so we're not going to talk about that. But since they have cracked down, I did think that the Lightning Lanes did feel faster, because they definitely did feel like they weren't. Because sometimes you would go, I remember going in Test Track and we waited 45 minutes through Lightning Lane. That's the one thing. So if it continues, because I don't want to see it like it is at Universal, because Universal, it's just not. It
doesn't
not
work.
Worth it. No. Yeah, it doesn't work. Yeah.
No.
But anyway, I digress. Let's talk about the holidays.
We'll end on a happy note.
Yes.
There are some additions for the holidays that have been announced at Walt Disney World. And some of these include that Santa will be greeting at Restaurant Asaurus's 75th annual Dino Institute Holiday Party. It's a long title.
Yeah.
And that's going to be starting November 12th. So if you want to see Santa, go over to the Restaurant Asaurus's 75th annual Dino Institute Holiday Party, and Santa will be there.
The only reason to go into Restaurantosaurus.
The thing I'm looking forward to is the next one, though, that they're going to have live entertainment added to Hollywood Studios for the holiday. This includes Juggling Elves, the Holiday Spirit Band, which is a dynamic brass ensemble, and Seasons Jukebox, a collegiate marching band. All are scheduled to start on November 12th as well. I think adding some Streetmosphere entertainment back in there for the holidays, some extra entertainment, is going to be fantastic, because that's what Hollywood Studios originally was. Streetmosphere entertainment was all over the place. So I'm excited about that. And then the Candlelight Processional narrators have also been announced. At this point, you can take a look on Disney's site and you'll be able to see the narrators and the list of narrators there and the dates. So some really good stuff.
Yeah, I'm excited. I know when we're there during Thanksgiving weekend to do both parties. And I think Josh Gad is there. So not that we're going to Epcot, but, you know, maybe we'll see him around. I don't know.
Yeah, there's some pretty big names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
So we had a lot to talk about. You know, we all have our thoughts. I am trying to remain positive. I think the Beyond thing is, I think it's good. It's one of those things that you can buy or not. And then you can buy in, like, if you're someone like my friend who lives in Canada and only goes every 2 years, they bank and borrow. You don't have to buy it, or you don't have to buy it every year. Like, it's something that you can choose, like, okay, this year we're going to skip it. I think it's a good thing. It'll be interesting to see how much it goes up, because I do think that's going to happen. Obviously, we talked about the Premier Pass. I think that's going to be a wait and see. It'll be also interesting. Do you guys think that they will extend it past Deluxe? We didn't mention that.
I don't think so
either. No.
I hope not.
No.
Because one, I don't think they really want a lot of people to have it. My guess is they're actually going to limit the number that they sell. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's 5,000 or something like that. Who knows? But I think they'll limit the number that they sell. But in addition, I don't see the general population paying that ever. You're going to increase the cost of your Magic Kingdom Day by $2,000. You know, that the average Joe, even though prices have gone up at Disney and the average Joe is in a higher income bracket, I'm not in that income bracket. So
No, totally.
No. And when you look at it, I mean, if you keep it just to the deluxe resorts, then you're also enticing people to stay in the deluxe resorts. And
if you can afford it.
So you just want to, you know, Disney's pretty smart, being able to entice people to do certain things if they have the money to do so.
Yep. I hope they limit it because somebody was pricing it out and I was like, wow, to have that much money to blow would be nice. Yeah. I think I'd have to be really, really wealthy to spend that, because even if I just had, you know, I was more comfortable, I don't think I could spend it like that. I don't know. Like, I would just go try and go for a VIP tour.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So this is the end of the news portion. So we always talk about if somebody had a recent trip, but you just went out to California. You went to Oogie Boogie Bash. So you want to talk about that real quick? Share your experience with everyone?
Yeah. There's going to be another show on the Mighty VC Points Network that's talking about, we stayed at a 3-bedroom grand villa at the Disneyland Hotel. A number of us, Gina, Chad, Steve, Nick. So a lot of the folks that are on the, either on the podcasts or members within the community, they will be lining up a show coming out soon where we're going to talk about that experience, the good, the bad, the ugly. Well, there wasn't really any ugly. Yeah, as far as Boo to You goes, this was my first time doing that. I'm not a big hard ticket event person, so I'll give it a very quick rundown. It was $179. Was it worth $179? I think it's hard to argue that it was, but what I did very much like about it was the way that they did their treat trails. They had a lot of different villains out, and what they do is they have the villains on the treat trails and they're interacting with people as they come through, but you're not stopping to get pictures. You're not, you know, it's not a meet and greet. It's just an interaction. You would just kind of move through the treat trails. There'd be like five or six stops where they'd give you a Twix bar or a Rice Krispie treat or carrots. I gave us carrots. I thought that was kind of weird. This bag's going to last a long time on the flight home.
I would have liked the carrots personally, but
no, I didn't. Well, the first two we went through had carrots, and I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do with all these carrots. But then that was it. There weren't any other carrots, so
it could have been worse.
Two little bags of carrots weren't too bad.
It could have been worse, Pete. They had one year. They had raisins, boxes of raisins,
and they had raisins too.
People were throwing them back into the basket.
They had craisins. That was probably the second worst, though. Craisins are better than raisins, I think. But that aspect of it, the actual like trick or treating, seeing the characters, that was pretty cool. The parade was not very impressive. I was a little disappointed in that. It was very short. Fortunately, we didn't wait very long for it, but Boo to You is a much better parade. And then there's no fireworks because it's in DCA. So at one point there were fireworks. I was like, oh, it's the fireworks. And they're like, no, that's in Disneyland. But we could see it. From a character interaction, from seeing all the different villains they had, they had Judge Doom from Roger Rabbit. They had Hades. They had Oogie Boogie. They had Sid from Toy Story. They had Agatha Harkness from the new MCU series. So, I mean, there were all these villains that you got to interact with. And that part was really, really cool. If you really like that, sure, it's worth it. But in terms of as a event, I think that there's more stuff. I will say I had more stuff from this party than I ever got in the Florida one. So Nick and Steve said they weighed it and they had like 5.5 pounds of candy or something like that.
Oh, wow.
It was a lot, but it's different from a not so scary Halloween party in that respect, but I wouldn't necessarily say it's better, but it was a good time with a lot of folks from the MyDVC Points community. So that part of it was well worth it to go out and have fun with them. I think that in terms of, I said, good for trick-or-treating, interacting with villains. Other than that, there wasn't.
Well, they added that. I don't know if you saw that they did add the villains to that in the Fairy Tale Hall. So they have the Evil Queen and Maleficent rotate just like that, where they're not in Florida. Yeah, that was something they added. Yeah. I actually knew about it back in July because my friend is the head of entertainment at Magic Kingdom.
Well,
and he told me about it. But he told me they were purposely not doing it the first couple parties. They were going to wait till like the second week or third week. And that's when they did it. And it's been very popular.
The thing that drives me crazy in Florida is that the meet and greets and everything like that, you wait in line for 30, 40 minutes for these people. And at least out at Oogie Boogie, because you weren't meeting the character, It was literally just you walked through the treat. You didn't wait in line at all. You walked through the treat line. You stopped at the different things. You could stop if you wanted to stop and try to interact with the character, or you could stop, or you could just, most people just kept on going. And you know that you, because as you're going through the line, you're hearing the character to the different people as they walk by and everything like that. I appreciated that more because I didn't feel like I was spending the whole, that's one of the problems I always have with hard tick events is I feel like I'm spending the whole time standing in line. If I'm paying all this money not to just stand in line, I remember going to the Halloween party in Florida and waiting like 20 minutes in line for like three Snickers bars. And I'm like, that's ridiculous.
Well, that's that this year. I mean, like I said, from Melissa Fint and Evil Queen, that's how it was. Now, unfortunately, they don't tell you which one is which. Yeah, you just watch through and some people were taking pictures, but you could pass them. Unfortunately for us, both times we went, it was Melissa Fint and when we were on the opposite side. So that was the only thing, but it was fine. But we did have to make a decision because, you know, we always went and saw Jack and Sally. And this year I was like, okay, writer, do you want to do Jack and Sally? Or we didn't get there till 7. We got there right when the party started just because there was two accidents on the way up. And he's just like, no, because there was things that he wanted to ride. And he's older now. We're saying, okay, if you want to ride this, this, and this, you can't do this. You have to pick and choose.
You have to make a choice.
And so we skipped Jack and Sally this year. Then he was like, as we were leaving, he goes, well, maybe we'll come back. And I'm like, no, we're not. Maybe next year. Because he's like, I'm really sad it's over. I wish we were coming back this year. And he looks at me and I'm like, we're not.
Good try.
Unless your dad's paying, which I'm pretty sure he's not.
We only got one ride in and we were there from before the party started, though we ate dinner. And like, we didn't come out of dinner till just about when the party started. And we were there almost till the end. I think we left, it was like 10:40 and the party went from 6 to 11. So it was 5 hours. Mm-hmm. And we did one ride. The only ride we did was the Guardians of the Galaxy have a Monsters After Dark overlay at night during Halloween.
Okay.
So we did that. It was maybe a 15-minute wait. Wasn't too bad, but we didn't really get a chance to do anything else. I didn't say this earlier, but I've learned over the years, keep my expectations low for the hard ticket events. And that helped a lot too. Low expectations. I just wanted to see the characters. That's what happened. So it was good.
It's pretty sad though, when you think about it.
It is.
You have to keep your
low. It's pretty sad when you're paying $180. You're like, I don't expect much out of this.
I'm just going to walk past a couple of characters.
Yep. Yep. But it was still fun.
That's good. Okay. Well, I have no trips planned. When is everybody's next trip? Sue, you live there. So, yeah. I mean, I guess I do have, trips planned at the end of November.
Well, I was supposed to be in the DVC cabins during the hurricanes. There's got to be something about the Fort Wilderness because prior to DVC having their cabins this year, I have made two other reservations as a cast member to get one of the cabins. And each time something has prevented me from going. And so this time
they don't want you there.
Right. It was the hurricane and they were evacuating everyone. And my choice was I could go to one of the hotels, but my prime reason for being there was to be able to go into the parks. And with the parks closed for the day, it was, no thanks.
Did they refund?
So let me ask you a question. If they moved you to a different resort, did you have to pay the difference of the points or was the points going to be?
Points were, it was just a switch over to a different resort and the points would stay the same. So I didn't lose anything. And the nice thing that DVC did with this was because I had some points, my use year is February, so I have to bank them by the end of September. And I had used points from this year that I would have banked. And she immediately said to me, what we're going to do is we're going to bank these points for you. If that's okay with you. And I said, fine, great. So I didn't lose out on anything, which was good.
That's good.
Yep. That's nice. So they refunded your points and then they let you bank them even though you were past your window.
Yep.
That's fair.
So I think so too.
Yeah, so I was happy about that. But I'm still hoping to see if I can get a room there, one of the cabins. But it looks like the earliest is going to be sometime in February right now.
Well, there's little hope for non-owners to get into the Poly Tower because they did open it to all Poly owners when they opened it up this past week. By the time they get to the seven-month window, which I think is in like November 19th or something like that, there is not going to be any rooms in the Poly Tower for 11 months. So.
Nope.
Yeah, it was funny because Ray's like, did you try and book? And I'm like, did we buy points? He's like, oh, it didn't open to everybody. I'm like, no.
I'll probably look that morning, but I'm not expecting to get anything. So
yeah, I'll look and see if there's anything, like, just because we don't have any trips planned, and maybe we'll do like a weekend where we just go in and enjoy the resort. But yeah, I'm not hopeful. So,
we're looking at end of October next year, so we don't have anything booked just yet either.
Well, I figure I'll try and wait list at the 7 month mark and see if the wait list comes in.
So with that, we want to thank our three sponsors, DVC Resale Market, DVC Rental Store, and Monera Financial for their continued support of the MyDVC Points platform. And with that, I will say, see you real soon, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney